City to order. Today is Monday, February 6th. Let the record reflect the time is 3:15 p.m. Today we have present Representatives Prox, Representative Wright, Vice Chair Representative Ruffridge, and myself, Chair Sumner. The staff that will be assisting us today are with House Records, Jordan Wright, Lisa Denny with the LIO, Clark Bickford, Committee Aide. Let the record reflect that Representative Sadler has joined us at just shy of 3:16. Today we are hearing House Bill 51, a bill by Representative Stanley Wright. I plan to hear and hold this bill for a second hearing that will include public testimony. Representative Wright, if you and your staff would like to come to the presenter's table.
To the chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. For the record, I am Representative Stanley Wright, District 22, and I'd like to thank you for hearing House Bill 51. HB 51 adds a small section to the Alaska statutes which allows for, but does not mandate, the transition away from hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs. This legislation simply ensures that building codes in Alaska cannot stop the use of an EPA-approved HFC alternative as long as the equipment needed is installed properly and complies with the necessary safety standards. A nationwide effort to transition from HFCs to less pollutant alternatives in the HVAC and construction industries is beginning to gain significant momentum. And HB 51 will ensure that Alaska is able to adopt these new technologies as they become available. Thank you again for hearing HB 51, and I'd like to turn things over to my intern, Billy Henthorne, who is a UAA student in the Ted Stevens program, and he will explain in further detail of HB 51.
Through the chair, this, for the record, this is Billy Henthorne, staff to Representative Wright, and we would like to thank you for hearing House Bill 51 today. So what is House Bill 51? House Bill 51 ensures the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, or HVAC, and construction industries in Alaska are able to transition to use the use of newer refrigerants and technologies, which are less pollutant than the currently used hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs. House Bill 51 is necessary so that Alaska may participate in the larger federal push to transition away from the HFC-containing refrigerants, which was initiated as part of the American Innovation and Manufacturing Act, signed into law in December 2020. I want to point out that House Bill 51 does not contain any mandate. It only allows Alaska to move forward with this transition by ensuring that our building codes cannot prevent the use of an HFC alternative, as long as all safety and insulation standards are met. On the national level, making the transition away from HFCs will contribute to creating an estimated 33,000 jobs, as well as continuing support of over 138,000 current jobs. Additionally, on the national level, this transition will increase direct manufacturing output by $12.5 billion, and both direct and indirect manufacturing output by a figure of $38.8 billion between now and 2027. House Bill 51 will embolden Alaska's economy and ensure that we're able to adapt to the latest and best technologies and industry trends, while also reducing our pollution level. House Bill 51 also has a zero fiscal note. We thank you again for your consideration today. And now we do have Mike Nardozzi and Helen Walter Terranoni from the Air Conditioning, Heating, and Refrigeration Institute to answer questions on the more technical aspects of the industry, the EPA, and maybe provide some more context and background on why this bill is needed. We also have Jason Olds, Director of Air Quality with the DEC, online to answer questions.
Mr. Henthorne, Representative Wright, was your intention that they give prepared testimony or that they're just available for questions on the bill?
They're just the experts and they're here for questions.
Okay. So,
Mr. Chair.
Seeing that, does any member of the committee have questions? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. Appreciate it. I've always got a question. Help me understand, what's the push? What's the motivation for going to next generation coolants? I don't quite have a name for what the new generation is, but what's the driver for this?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler. This is a part of a federal push to transition off of HFC refrigerants because they are more polluting and generally less efficient than the newer technologies coming out. One in particular, I know the name of is R454R. And that's one of the newer ones coming out. They're supposed to be more efficient than the older ones and less polluting.
Oh, I've got a couple, if I may. Just want to clarify, so if a commercial business, if this bill were to pass and a commercial business, say a florist or a retail food store, wanted to invest in new HVAC equipment, new coolant, that was old technology, not using the new stuff, but what's current now, would this bill provide any impediment towards that?
Through the chair, Representative Wright, absolutely not. This doesn't affect any past technology. It only creates an opportunity for new technology to be available.
Thank you, Chair.
So, Mr. Henthorne, Representative Wright, I actually did have a question. So, in your sponsor statement, you said 2.4 million metric tons of carbon dioxide for the next 15 years. And then in your presentation, it was 2.4 billion tons of greenhouse gases. Did you perhaps mean the equivalent greenhouse gas effect as 2.4 billion tons of carbon dioxide?
Through the chair, I believe so. The paper says 2.4 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide over the next 15 years. That's how much we'll shrink it by transitioning to HFCs.
But that would be the equivalent of 2.4 billion tons of carbon dioxide, right, in HFCs?
Yes, through the chair, yes.
So we do have an expert on the line.
Yeah, so maybe if your expert could testify to that point. Would that be Mr. Nerozzi?
Yes. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Can everybody hear me? Sorry, I didn't realize that the line was muted until somebody asked a question of me. Hello?
Yep. Go ahead, Mr. Nerozzi.
Okay, I just wanted to back up to the previous question quickly about sort of what is the impetus behind what's sort of driving this, and really what it is that in December 2020, President Donald Trump signed the American Innovation and Manufacturing Act, which directed the EPA to phase down the nation's use and supply of HFC-based refrigerants. This is part of the stepping back even further, it's part of a international compact and treaty called the Montreal Protocol and the Kigali Amendment, which was recently passed by the U.S. Senate. And all of these international compacts and the federal law basically are in alignment, trying to reduce the world supply of HFC-based refrigerants, and here in the United States, directing the EPA to do so. And so what's going to happen is, in July 1, 2024, the EPA is going to restrict the supply of HFC-based refrigerants by 40%. And beginning in that same year, our manufacturers are going to start producing equipment that utilizes these new next-generation low global warming potential refrigerants. And that is the primary impetus for this is again, responding to the EPA's regulations, but also again, the purpose trying to be to allow Alaskans continued access to HVAC refrigeration equipment and chillers and that they can use whatever refrigerant is approved by the EPA and is installed according to their standards.
Representative Fields.
Thanks to the chair. I think I also have a question for Mr. Nerozzi. I know very little about the supply chains for these appliances and also for the chemicals, although it's my impression that a lot of these appliances are still made in the United States. So if you could just enlighten me about where these refrigeration appliances made, and also for these next generation coolants, where are they manufactured or where will they be manufactured? Thank you.
Sure. So just to, I guess, give a little bit of background on our association, the Air Conditioning, Heating, and Refrigeration Institute, we represent over 300 North American manufacturers of HVAC, refrigeration, and water heating equipment. A lot of these alternative refrigerants are actually being developed by the manufacturers themselves. So it's, again, kind of private enterprise and innovation, responding to, again, what's going on at the federal level. Our members have been working in large part to develop these safer alternatives that will be used in equipment beginning next year.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. And I guess through the chair, Mr. Nerozzi or Representative Wright, anybody actually. My thought is this is a statute change in Alaska. If this is in response to federal regulations or federal law restricting the use of HFCs, there might be a hierarchy of places to go to change this. Has there been consideration of trying to achieve a federal law that might allow this? And barring that, might change in the state building code in Alaska? Or even just the regulations be sufficient? I'm wondering why a statute is the fix for this.
Yes. Yeah, so really what it is trying to harmonize the EPA's phase down with manufacturers shifting to these new refrigerants. So the EPA publishes what's called a SNAP list, and that's a list of approved refrigerants nationwide. And they also have safety standards and installation standards tied to those specific refrigerants. And so why we need to pursue a statutory change is because what's happening is that the state's existing building code update cycle isn't matching up with the EPA's timeline of the phase down. So I know in my home state here in Pennsylvania, we just adopted the 2018 ICC code standards last year. So it is likely going to be another 6 years before the latest standards, the 2024 ICC standards, are published, which contain all of the relevant guidance and language permitting the use of these refrigerants. So it's essentially getting us a bridge until Alaska can catch up and adopt the 2024 ICC codes. Once those codes are updated, quite honestly, the statute at that point would be moot. But again, it's an important bridge to get us there, because if we don't permit the use of these alternate refrigerants, next year when our manufacturers transition, Alaska is going to be a state where we can't sell equipment. And certainly we don't want to have that happen. I know your constituents don't want to have that happen. So again, it's a timing issue. It's a harmonization issue, trying to reconcile our industry's response to this AIM Act and the EPA's timeline, and making sure that there's continued access to equipment in Alaska.
Go ahead, Representative Sadler.
And through the chair, Mr. Rosie, for those of us who are not attuned to the building cycles, I could use a very short primer on the building codes, what they are, to what degree they regulate our construction, and what the revision schedule is. It sounds like you know what you're about, but I don't know that, so help me out.
Sure. I actually have a colleague, and I will defer to Helen Walter Terranoni. She's our VP for Regulatory Affairs. She's probably better suited to respond to this question.
Good afternoon. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. thank you for letting me speak. So the building code cycle in Alaska is probably on a 3-year cycle. The International Code Council adopted the necessary safety standards to upgrade the codes to allow for the new refrigerants in their 2024 edition. It is likely that many types of equipment will transition in 2025 and 2026, and it'll be too late by the time the codes are updated in Alaska to harmonize with what's happening across the nation. So, so this is really an issue of just trying to get things harmonized because the building codes are just a little bit off cycle from the direction that things are taking through EPA. I hope that helps.
Representative Prox.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. Through the chair, a note here indicates that there's going to be 33,000 jobs created, as opposed, in my mind, I interpret that as opposed to folks who are already working in the industry. And that indicates that we're going to be replacing equipment or current equipment with new equipment. Is that what's projected to happen?
This is Mike Nerozzi again. I think it's actually really going to create an expansion in our manufacturers' operations, expanding facilities, expanding product lines, and that's where those additional jobs are going to come from. Once we have this regulatory certainty on what refrigerants we can use in our equipment, our manufacturers are ready to hit the ground running next year and produce as much of this new equipment as they can, again, and sell it in states that have permitted the use of these refrigerants through their building code.
Mike, if I may add to that, this is an estimate of the jobs created for international export.
Mrs. Terrioni, or Terrinoni, could you please state your name for the record and your affiliation? Sorry, we just
This is
that.
Helen Walter Terrinoni from the Air Conditioning, Heating, and Refrigeration Institute.
Thank you.
And so that estimate is based on export increases in exports.
Representative Carrick.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment that it's not often that statute is the fastest way to accomplish anything, but I guess this is a unique situation. I think I spoke with the bill sponsor about this, but can maybe the bill sponsor or someone on the line explain a little bit more again how this is a job creation effort? In other words, do we have individuals who are waiting to get into the industry, who are trained in the industry and just waiting for these updates to be able to work with these new coolants? Or is it more just we have folks who are trained in old refrigeration and coolant use and also are trained in this? So can you just elaborate a little bit, not only how this is job stabilizing, but how it creates jobs? Someone.
May I respond to that? This is Helen Moltis-Cerinoni.
Go ahead.
Yes, so Helen Moltis-Cerinoni, AHRI. The technicians and contractors that install equipment today will be the same technicians and contractors that will install the equipment tomorrow. We are always in desperate need for more technicians and contractors. It's an industry need that continues. But these jobs that we've identified, the 33,000 jobs, are actually additional jobs to that. This is jobs at factories around the U.S. where they manufacture all of this equipment, and that would be equipment that would be exported from the U.S.
Representative Sadler, did you have a question?
Thank you. I do. Ma'am, I'm still not quite sure of your last name. I am hearing some clutter in the background when you speak, but I'll let that go. Could you please slowly again explain which building code are we speaking of? And you're saying that Alaska is not likely to adopt that until 2024. Could you run that very slowly through again for me, please?
Yes, and I apologize for the background noise. I'm at a conference. Essentially, the 2024 International Code Council, the codes have adopted the necessary standards to allow for the next generation refrigerants. So the International Mechanical Code, the International Fire Code, the International Residential Code, all of those codes have been updated. But the next step in the process is for Alaska to adopt the, those national model codes, those ITC, the international, national model codes, into the state and local building codes. And unfortunately, the timing is off. So the 2024 publication of those codes, the publication of the 2024 codes is happening in the next week. And then it would have to circle back through the building code process in Alaska, which can take some time. It can take a couple of years to kind of get through that. So we expect that that would result in delays. That means that Alaska would be behind in the ability to have access to this new equipment.
Representative,
does that help?
Thank you.
Thanks to the chair. I guess this question is for either of the industry representatives. I know that this federal bill was only passed in 2020, and some of us are learning about HFCs now, but my understanding is the industry has been preparing for this for a pretty long time. What is the time frame that the industry has been working on preparing for this transition?
If I may, the industry has been preparing for this transition since 2008.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, I guess, ma'am, help me understand what percentage of Alaska's refrigerant coolant industry is likely to benefit from this. Are we seeing a need for, well, I guess it's already been clear that we have a mandate. I'll withdraw the question. So it sounds like 40% is the answer.
Sounds like there's no question. Vice Chair, Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you. Through the chair, I just had a question on the, is there a recycling process or a destruction process for HFC replacement? Or does it just reach the end of useful life and it becomes non-harmful to the environment? What is the end of life portion?
If I may, this is Helen Alter, Chair and Ellie again. There is a recycling and destruction, both processes, that exist for the existing refrigerants and for future refrigerants. So they're often collected and reused today and will be tomorrow. If they become contaminated with oil or water and they just can't be separated and reused and cleaned up again, then they are destroyed through approved destruction technologies by the EPA.
Thank you.
Representative Prox.
Yes, thank you, Chair Sumner. This is a little bit beside the point. This is something that is going to happen, and we're enabling that to happen. And it's on a expedited time schedule, I guess. And do we need to do something to inform current technicians and people that are working on these systems? Because I'm thinking refrigeration systems, if they're maintained at all, they last a long time. I've worked on some that have been in service for 40 years, and they could become obsolete simply because of a lack of refrigerant to keep the system charged. Do we need to do some work to inform the public that this is going to happen, and businesses need to prepare for that?
This is this is Mike Nerozzi again, Director of Government Affairs at AHRI. As Helen mentioned, we've been working on this since 2008, not just in a vacuum, but with a variety of different organizations, including all the way down the supply chain from we represent, obviously, manufacturers. There's an association that represents distributors of HVAC equipment. And then there's also the Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Association, which represents the installers and the technicians. And so all of those organizations have had a seat at the table as the Federal AIM Act was being developed and as the EPA guidance rolled out. In fact, we as an institute, we are involved in setting safety standards and setting efficiency standards. And so we have a very close relationship with our technicians in the field to make sure that they install this equipment safely.
Representative Brock. Just confirm. So that already is in progress. Is that fair to say?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
If I may, yes, manufacturers and their supply chain have developed training related to the new refrigerant. And that training is available online as well as especially for remote areas. And manufacturers generally train the folks that purchase their product in installation practices.
Thank you.
Okay, little cleanup. Let the record reflect that Representatives Fields and Representative Carrick arrived at 3:16 p.m. Seeing no more questions and seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect the time is 3:41 p.m.